accent, as you probably can say, so you might speak too fast, so you couldn't hear what I'm saying. Just tell me to stop so I can say it the way you would understand. Is that a deal? Especially if you're going to be quoting me. You don't want to quote, and then I say, no, I didn't say that. Right. So make sure you get what I said. So what I want to do today is just to talk about sustainability in general. And one of the biggest things that affects sustainability globally is energy use. Whether that energy is used in the industries, it's used at home, it's used in classes like this, it's used in transportation, we spill a lot of carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide, as you probably have heard, is one of the things that causes global warming. So I will talk a little bit about the campus energy, and then I will talk about our 10-year plan. So when I joined Bognell in 2019, the first thing that I was tasked to do was to put a plan together. I think this is very, very important because if you go and work at the local level, at the state level, or at the national level, there's always a plan. And so as a journalist, you want to understand what is in the plan. And the plan is supposed to be something that commits to society, the community. So this is the way we are going. The process of creating a plan like this is, you know, a shared vision. What is it that people want in their community? And so you as public writers, whether you're a journalist or you are in the electronic media, you are expected to be the one to take this and put it in a language that the public will understand. And typically, you know, you probably want to write in an 8th grade or 12th grade level, PhD level, right? So that's very, very important. So we have a sustainability plan that is based on the university strategic plan. And we basically take the key objective that have to do with environmental sustainability in the 5-year plan, and we follow the 10-year plan. You probably need to understand that that's how society is governed. So you have the national information that sometimes is trickled down to the state, to the local, and so on. So every semester, we try to write a report and say, what have we done? What have we accomplished? And how are we progressing on this? And so I have the last 2 semesters here for you. The one that just passed before, you probably will get that ready by the end of this semester. And they are all on the website. So you could pick any of these documents on the website electronically and digest it. Understand it for your own self, so that you never know where you get the job. What, how, and solutions are the things that you will see people talk about? What are we talking about? What problem are we solving? What's the impact? How many people is it going to affect? We have an outage of electric outage. How many people are out? Weather related or accident related? Today, it's a lot of terrorism or terrorism related. So if you ever become a journalist, you need to understand those things. So we gotta know what is the issue, how is the issue addressed, and what are the solutions, and what are the impacts of those solutions. So for this engagement today, I just wanted to talk about 3 things. The first one is the definitions of sustainability. The way we define it here at Bognell. Unfortunately, it's not a standard definition that everybody uses. So different groups have their different meaning and different interpretation of sustainability. The bottom line, everybody wants to have an Earth, a planet, that we preserve for ourselves and for the future generation. So no matter the rubric that you see, it's all about preserving the environment. Because if we go at the rate we are going, some people will argue that if everybody in the third world countries are supposed to live the kind of lifestyle we live in the US, we need about 4 or 5 Earths. And we can't have 5 Earths. I don't think God is interested in giving up another 4 Earths for us to do the way we've done with the present Earth. So that's what sustainability is really about, making sure we meet the needs of the present so that future generation will also be able to be comfortable as we do. So I'm going to share a little bit about how Bognell defined sustainability. and how ESHI. ESHI is the Association for Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. And it's a group that we are involved that help us to measure how we are performing and the kind of processes and procedures we have as an institution of higher learning as well as sustainability. The second thing I want to talk to you guys about is our strategic plan. Not just the sustainability plan, because this is derived from the strategic plan. So in the strategic plan, we talk about three major things that have to be to do with sustainability. The first one, which I think the class is very interested in, is biodiversity and natural habitat. So the strategic plan says that we need to make these samples as natural as possible. The second thing that it talks about is what we call carbon neutrality. So what in that plan we agree as an institution, when we put that together, was if we produce one unit of carbon dioxide on campus, we got to find somewhere, either here on campus or somewhere else, to get that amount out. And that's what carbon neutrality is. And we have a goal to become carbon neutral by 2030. And then the third thing in the strategic plan is to minimize waste. As a society, we waste a whole lot. As a campus, we waste a whole lot. While we hear people have confusion on campus about recycling and all of that. So we need to figure out how best to manage and reduce waste. Yes?
Did you say the goal for the school to be carbon neutral is by 2030?
So those are the three major components that we have in the strategic plan that drove this sustainability plan. And because we're talking about 2030, so we make this 10 years plan. And I will talk about a little bit on the details. I won't bore you, and I think I'm boring you because you're having a problem. So the 10-year plan is really about, I think it's appropriate, though this is the activism thing is another class that I will be talking to, the environmental activism class. I don't know if you read that. But as journalists, you cover them. If the journalists do not tell the story about the activists, nobody knows about it. So you guys have a key input in fashioning out why people protest. And sometimes, if there are no protests, the society doesn't hold. We become conservative. We stay where we are. I think I read somewhere, don't quote me on this one because it's not me, that the progressives keep on making mistakes. Whereas the conservative make sure that we don't correct the mistakes that the progressives are making. That's why we're in this big trouble as a society. So we got a balance. So when I joined Bucknell, there were some people who says the carriageway tax shut down the power plant. And there are some people at the other extreme that say, oh, this global warming thing is not true. I'm sure you've heard this first. Hope it doesn't come up with your diet, you know, dinner table. That's all the parents says. Global warming is good, is it real? The other one would say it's not real. But we have that in campus like this. Some very well-educated people don't believe there is global warming. And there are some very well-educated people that think it's gonna kill all of us. Yeah. And there are perspectives, there are some arguments, the pros and cons in those arguments, which you as journalists have to understand to be able to engage and educate the listening public. And so we have to understand what is it that we are trying to do. What are we trying to accomplish as a society? And how are we going to accomplish that? What is the solution approaches? And what's the impact? So for my presentation, the what for this class, for this conversation, is environmental sustainability. And you see this in this plan. Environmental sustainability. The how is the behavior. How do you get people to think differently? And how do you get people to act differently? And then the solutions are technology. What kind of technology should we use to make sure we don't spew as much carbon dioxide as possible? What technology should we use so that we don't put so much plastic in the system? It's a way of wasting. And what kind of technology should we use to make sure the greenway lasts for a long time? How do we make, I feel a little bad and embarrassed if you go and look at the new data we got. the Russian have already started washing the pavement. That was it. I don't think we talked to that, by the way. And as journalists, the ones that would do investigative journalism and expose those kind of things, why did we do that? Was it cost cutting? Or was it that someone just made a mistake? So those are the kind of things that you do. And so the impact of whatever we do, the solution we have, sometimes there's a negative consequence when you are trying to do right. And so you just have to help the society to understand that. Those are the three main things I want to talk to you about if we have that. Any question? Any comment? Is my accent on my way, on your way? Is everybody hearing me? Understanding me? Okay, this, and you can read it, but you don't have to. This is really the definition, the way Bucknell look at sustainability. It's right there on our website. It looks at it from principles and practices at scale, from local to global. Now, sometimes when I talk to some of my colleagues, we are so focused on local. We don't think about global. But you, as a new generation, you are more globalized than the rest of us. So you look at the big picture. So sustainability is not just about Israel. It's not just about Bucknell. It's not just about Lewisburg. It's not just about Union County. It's not just about Pennsylvania. It's not just about America. It's the whole world. And one of the things I tell people is that even if in the advanced countries like the US, we are as sustainable as we can and we want to be, if the third world countries do not get there, we're in the same position. Because we all share the one. So it has to think about the global, it has to think about protecting, maintaining, and increasing long-term viability and resilience of our environmental, social, and economic support systems so that we can create a more just, equitable, and abundant future. That's Bucknell. I didn't know about that. It was adopted many years ago before I joined, but it makes sense. And then if you look at ESHI, which is more than 1,000 schools. They define sustainability in an inclusive way that encompasses human and ecological health, social justice, secure livelihood, and better world for all generations. They operationalize this commitment through sustainable practices that address the organization's environmental, social, and economic. One of the things you will hear about lately, anyway, this journey we started with sustainable development, and then we move into sustainability, and now we are talking about ESG. So that's the kind of thing you will hear out there. What's ESG? ESG is environmental, social, and governance. And it's one way of measuring sustainability. Because the E, the environmental, is social sustainability. The S is the E is environmental sustainability, the S is the social sustainability, and the G is how do we govern ourselves, how do we govern society and operations and companies. So ESG is very, very important. It's one way of measuring sustainability in the way that makes sense. Have any of you raised your hand, let me see, head of sustainable development goals? Nobody? Sustainable development goals.
Have you heard of it before?
Yeah. Just raise your hand if you have heard sustainable development goals. All right. I mean, how many goals are there? That's a test. Just raise your hand. How many of you have heard about sustainable development goals? Once again, your hands again. Hands up. How many goals are there in the SDGs? Who knows? 20, 100, 60, 10, 5, 15, 17, SDGs. Someone take a guess now.
5?
No. There are 17 SDGs. Right? So Google that to find out where they are. And they really talk about the whole life. And the whole idea when the 200 countries in the world got together, the whole idea was to make sure we get development that meet today's present without recognizing the future, and also make sure everybody is carried along. And the 17 goals go into different detail: zero hunger, zero poverty, balance between consumption and production, peace and prosperity, and so on. 17 is a lot. And then those 17 goals have about 69 targets, specific targets that the world is looking at. Probably the reason you might not know about it is that I don't think America is so, or US is so engaged with it. That's probably why you don't know. But there are so many people that are now beginning to push it to the county, to the local level. But if you go to the third world country like Nigeria, they talk about sustainable development goals. Except when they say sustainable, they're not talking about sustainability the way we talk about it, which we are talking about environmental sustainability. Those third world countries, they're talking about sustained economic growth, which is not, which is actually antithesis of sustainable development. But why do they do that? Because they feel we here in the US and the advanced country, we live the life. We enjoy the coal. We burn coal and we came to the place we are today. And now we are telling them you should not burn coal. That's where the issue is. That's where the equity issue is. And you as the new generation need to figure that out. You know. So if we are telling the third world countries your lifestyle has to stay where it is while we enjoy our lifestyle like we continue to do, are we going to have an equitable society? No, we won't. Perhaps that's one of the problems we have today, where the borders is open and everybody just wants to leave their own country. And guess what will happen to our own lifestyle? It's going to be diluted. So we're going to take development to the people where they are and encourage them, because we just don't have enough planet. We don't have enough real estate for everybody in the world to come. We don't have enough world for everybody to live the way we are living in. That is the core issue of sustainable development goals, ESG, impact, and so on. And that's in your hands to help us solve. That's in your hands to help us educate the public. Okay, so that's the definition, and I think Rob can give you these slides. Now, there was Greenway. So what people have done over the years, I'm not going to get into the issue of Greenway, is to solve this problem. And getting a greenway is one way of solving this problem. And here at Bucknell, we decided that we can do something like that. The idea of getting a greenway actually updated me. It was here before I even joined the university. But we were able to make it happen. We created about a four miles loop around the campus so that people can connect to the environment. And as we maintain that pathway, and we begin to really make it a greenway, not just a walkway, we're going to be planting more trees. So maybe a class like this can get together, pick a portion of that greenway, and plant trees that you will bring your children to come and see that you did. You're part of making it. So that's really how we, as a university, want people to be connected to the environment. So far, by the way, we can. Okay. Yeah. This year talks about this plan. Okay. The plan is really into four areas. The what is environmental sustainability. The how is social sustainability. How do we get people to change their behavior? And then the how, the solution is technology. Technology, right? For this campus, we have a 1.7 megawatt solar panel. And solar just absorbs sunshine from the sun and turns it into electricity without spewing any carbon dioxide. How many of you have driven an electric vehicle? I think by the time your generation start having children, it's likely that most everybody will be driving an electric vehicle. Because that's one way of avoiding the tailpipe. You know, the smoke pipe and the carbon dioxide that we spew. So technology is another way of making sure we change the progress toward global warming. What kind of technology? You know, there are certain technologies that also have their own negative impact. Like, for instance, nuclear energy. Nuclear energy does not spew any carbon dioxide. But who wants to go home once nuclear power plant to be built in their neighborhood? No one. So all of these technologies have their own advantage. And there are people who are saying today we don't even know the impact of the battery we are using in the vehicle, the electric vehicle. We don't know the impact of the silicate that we are using to create solar panels. These are things that maybe 50 years from now, just like we today are looking at nuclear and coal, people will also look at battery, lithium, and solar panels the same way. But at that point, your children will probably have a better solution than we never thought about. So the last thing is the governance. If you don't have the right proper governance processes, you're not going to be able to make these kind of decisions. So how do we decide that we should use solar panels? How do we decide that everybody should go electric vehicle? That's an argument, for instance, the Congress had to enter into before the IRA. How many of you know what IRA is? Investment Reduction Act. So that act basically allowed a lot of investment in renewable technology, in sustainability, and so on. So governance and asset management is a key process of sustainability. So in terms of goal, carbon neutrality by 2030, we continue to do ecological conservation and restoration. Things like the greenway is a key aspect of that. And then we are moving on the pathway to zero waste. And then we continually do socially responsible investing. And for you, you can be involved. Because for each of these four areas, we also have four working groups. The appropriate health is one of the working groups, which is the ecological conservation and restoration. So you could be active. We invite students, we invite staff to be a part of that, to be part of that governance process to decide what we do on campus for sustainability, for ecological restoration and conservation, for biodiversity. We also have a working group that's looking at carbon, how we become carbon neutral by 2030. That's also open to students. We have another one that is looking at how do we minimize waste. We're invited to join that. And then lastly, we have another working group that just look at ESG, environmental, social, and governance. What are the impacts, and how do we affect campus on that? I don't want to take too much of that. So I think I should stop there and let people ask questions. The rest of the slides here are really some specific targets that we're using to measure each of these four.
Could I share this with the class, the
yes.
PowerPoint? Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Everybody will have that.
So before I talk too long, before I take too much time, let me stop there and take questions. Yes.
Of the four groups up there trying to get to carbon neutrality, what do you believe is the hardest section to kind of cover?
That's a very good question. These are the four working groups, right? So this here are the aspect of sustainability. So we have technical sustainability, which have to do with technology. Actually, I call it technological sustainability, but the communication people say technical because maybe that's easier to communicate. Okay. So we have some metrics in there. How much electricity are we using from solar? How much of our vehicles are coming electric? And so on. How much charging stations do we have? So we have specific metrics there. And all those that I just mentioned help us with this. So in the carbon neutrality that you mentioned specifically, we have three subsets. One subset of three subcommittees. One subcommittee is looking at how do we bring the right power systems, the right energy system, renewable energy on the campus. And that's the group that came up with the 1.7 solar farm. How many of you have been to see? At least in the solar farm. You should try and see it behind the baseball field. Okay. And then the second group there is looking at, and I'm going to answer the question you asked. The second group, subgroup there, is looking at efficiency. How do we make sure we get more efficient? Because if you are not efficient, you are wasting. And then when you are wasting, you are polluting when you don't have to. And then the third group, this is probably the most difficult one that I'm facing right now, is if we do everything we can to get all the power from renewable, solar, wind, and then we are also as efficient as we can, and we still find ourselves producing carbon dioxide, what should we do? And that subgroup is looking at carbon credit and carbon offset. That's the difficult part, because some of the conversations people are having is, should we find a solution on campus? If we're going to find a solution on campus, it's going to be very expensive. One of the things that people told us to do is shut down the cogen. If we shut down the power plant on campus, we will need at least $70 million to replace. And that is not going to happen overnight. And two, we will still have some carbon left. And so that doesn't seem like a very reasonable decision to make because of the cost impact, right? When you are writing as journalists, you will see activists that wants, you know, the whole war. Can we afford the whole war? You know, so cost is a very critical part. And then the other reason that we don't think we should shut down the cogen is the idea of resiliency. If you shut down the cogen and you guys are all here in a big winter and the power grid is down, what happens? So we will be in trouble. And so keeping the cogen on campus becomes useful. So that's the carbon neutrality, the pathway to zero waste. We also have people, probably that's the biggest group. We have a subgroup there that deals with how do we message. And we know we fail. People will have the issue of we don't know what is being recycled. And I know that is going on. But we just brought in a consultant to help us think through that. And then once we finish that, we'll be able to tell people precisely what should be recycled. Because what we've done and have is just I've shown that so many things we should not be recycling, we are putting them on recycling bin. And so many things we should be putting in trash, we are not putting those things. So we're probably going to come up with some more specific, put the right message, communicate properly. The second thing is, how do you manage the waste, the logistic of collecting, storing, and cleaning up the waste? And then the third group look at how do we treat the waste. So once you get the waste into a place, do you recycle it? Do you compost it? Do you donate it? It might surprise you to know that when you move out as students, when you move out at the end of the semester, a lot of stuff is wasted. And there are people that will collect those things that you throw away and they'll be very happy. Like one of the last time I did this, we had about 5,000 pounds of things that used to don't have wasted. The people come from the neighborhood and collected those things and they were useful. One of the things I will never forget is I saw brand new shoes that I didn't think the guy who threw that away had worn it once or twice. Yeah. So we waste a lot. And you, this Bonnell, Nathaniel, you are better. I mean, you are blessed. You are privileged. And that shouldn't make us to waste. You know, that shouldn't make us to waste. And then the last one, ecological conservation that Prof is the co-sponsor. So for each of these working groups, we have professors and directors and leaders of the industry that co-sponsor them. We also have three subgroups. One is looking at the tree canopy. The other one is looking at how we connect people with the environment, which is where the green will come in. And then another one is looking at the water. You might not know that this school, people used to come to the school through water many, many years ago. Now we don't even know that we have big water. Okay. I know that was a long way of answering your question, but I thought you guys would have an appreciation of that. Any last question? Yes.
You talked about having a proper like governance process to make decisions.
Yes.
So like, can you talk about your personal experiences? I'm assuming you have like tell us in those processes, but just how do you manage that? Yes.
So The biggest advantage that I have, that I tell people, is that we have what we call President Sustainability Council, which Prof is a member. And the president of the university is a part of that, is a member of that. It's called President Sustainability Council. That is the group that helps with the governance process so that people come up with ideas and suggestions. You can't do everything everybody suggests. You know? So we have to prioritize and we have to choose. And that is the group that does that. And the president is there, listening and guide the conversation. Very similar to what you had happening in Washington. The president is, you know, hopefully the last person that makes a decision unless we send it to the Supreme Court or something like that. So what we have at Bonnell, a lot of schools would like to have the President Sustainability Council that we have. So that is the primary governance structure for sustainability. Did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I saw your hands there.
I was gonna ask you how you think the ESG initiatives that are like being placed into like corporate, like the corporate world, how you think that will affect the global sustainability and in general, or more specifically in the US?
Very, very, very good question. Because when it comes to sustainability and ESG, the US is lagging behind. You know, the Europeans are way ahead of us. So, but there are things we are doing. The same thing with the sustainable development goals. We are at the national level, we are not engaging it, but there are communities in the cities level and state level, especially states like California that are being embraced. So I think if you want to tell people what you are doing in sustainability, ESG is a very good way of doing it. And in the business world, they now begin to evaluate institutions, organizations, or corporations based on their ESG index. You know, do they remove carbon? How much carbon are they producing? Are they wasting water? Are they encouraging biodiversity in their process or in their value chain? When it comes to the social, they're looking at diversity. You know, how are they using, this is something you guys would get to know, get to think about. Who are the people making the clothes that we are wearing? Is it labor force, is it child labor, and so on. So ESG allow you to look at those kind of things. And then on the J part is things like the governance. Is it all one group of people? Is there diversity in the governance? Because there is the knowledge, I don't want to use the word that you already know, that only a certain group of people are at the top. So how good is the top? Does the top have the diversity of the customers or the employees? So that when people are making decisions at the board level, that all the different perspective, all the different diversity of the customer base or the employee base. So ESG in itself is good for the companies, except, you know, people think it's expensive, but in the long run, it's actually very good. Any other questions?
One question I had as you were speaking, the social sustainability component might take into consideration how sustainable is the Bucknell model in terms of cost of tuition or financially, how inclusive can it be of people who want to come here, even if they can't afford the very high tuition here. And so I guess that has to be balanced against, or at least some positive way has to be found, that in terms of carbon neutrality, for example, if you're moving away from using the cogen plant and trying to use only renewable sources, and that involves a large amount of financial resources, how do you balance these things? You know, if you want to focus on, as we should, I think, on financial aid and,
yes.
Yeah.
I think we had that analysis or that discussion in this session of this newsletter. Interestingly, and I have to say this, at Bucknell, we separated a little bit the DEI from sustainability. So there is actually a vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we actually have that on campus. But for what we look at social sustainability here, we are talking about behavior changes at the micro level. We are talking about when you leave your room, you turn off the light. We are talking about how much are you wasting water in your room. But the DEI is looking more like the mix of employee and students on campus. But the big point he is saying comes to this, and this is real for us. So if you want to be environmentally sustainable, if you want to score high on sustainability, can we afford to spend $70 million to shut down the coal? Or can that $70 million be used to discount, to help pay school fees for those who want to come to Bucknell after their tax? So that becomes a serious balancing trade-off question. And sometimes that's beyond my pay grade, it's beyond our pay grade, it's what the Board of Trustees have to look at. So we gotta bubble up the challenge, the issue, and propose it in the way they can make their decisions. So in summary of answering his question, at Bucknell, we have a DEI council, president council, just as we have a sustainability council. And the DEI is mostly focused on the structural aspect of making sure our populace, our student body, our staff employment is diverse. People are included. People have a sense of belonging. Whereas when we use social sustainability, it's really the mindset, how do we change the behavior to the micro level. Any other question? I know time is of a sense. All right, if there is no question, just send me an email. If you want to ask more, Victor Ola is my name. Once again, Josh, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I'll share the PowerPoint with everyone.